No? It didn't go all the way. I guess there's a little catch there. Can you hear me now? All right. Well, that's a little loud. No? Not too loud? All right, good. Well, it's so... Well, that's right. All right. Well, today we've come to worship. We've come to celebrate our risen Lord Jesus Christ and what he means to us. And so I pray that your hearts are open. I've already prayed for you, that your hearts would be soft, that your ears would be able to hear what the Spirit has to say, that your eyes would be able to see Jesus for who he is in your life. That's what I've prayed for each of you. And as we begin the service, I just once again want to thank our worship team and for their commitment and their efforts to provide an opportunity for us to come and be here. Now, the weather outside, it's Alaska. And it doesn't stop us from most things. In fact, I would hazard a guess that there are a lot of people out enjoying other activities today in the Alaska wilderness. But it is an amazing thing that our God has made, and to be able to worship him, whether it's here in this place or whether you find yourself in some amazing vista that cannot be described with words or photographs, and you encounter God on a mountaintop. That's where Moses did it. And so Jesus went to the mountain to pray. And we're here, so we'll start with prayer and want to give thanks to the Lord. However you feel is comfortable for you today, whether you want to sit or whether you want to stand, just do what is comfortable for you as you worship. It's more important the posture of your heart than that of your body. So I will ask if you're able to stand and would like to please stand as we pray. But I ask that you would bow your hearts as we thank the Lord for this day. Father, we're grateful that you have given us the strength to be here this morning, that you've given us another day that was not promised to us, and that we have this opportunity to join with our family of faith to love each other and to love you and to express that love through praise and worship, through songs, reading scripture, through hearing the word and then living your word, your truth. May we be ever vigilant about lifting up Jesus Christ and testifying to his reality in our life that others may see, hear, and know that Jesus is Lord of all. And it is in his name we pray, Heavenly Father, and for your glory. Amen.
Like you, who on earth could working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop.
For the truth of this song, Lord, that even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, it does not mean you are any less faithful. You are faithful to complete that good work that you started in us, Lord. You are faithful to be with us every step of the way, guiding us through wisdom and just your amazing love, Lord. We thank you that you are the way maker when we feel there is no way. Nothing is impossible with my God. I serve a risen king. I serve a king who has conquered the grave. We thank you for this truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
of all that you've done and all that you continue to do in our lives. That we would continually be amazed and in awe of how truly great and wonderful you are. Of how present you are in our lives. That you never forsake us because of the sacrifice of your Son. We thank you that we are called your children. We are not distant cousins, but we are your immediate family. And I am honored to be in that place, Lord. I'm honored to be called your child, and I pray that we all be honored and humbled by that thought today. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, once again, welcome. Glad you're here. Got to go wading Willow Creek with my son this last week, and we slayed them. I mean, you could almost walk across the creek, but now they were pinks. I get that. And everybody kind of turned their heads down. But I will tell you that if you get a bright and fresh pink, they're very good, very good. But we caught more fish than we could possibly. We were done. Let's just say, our arms were about to fall off. We were just slaying them. We had a lot of fun. And, you know, I hear that the silvers are coming, and they're already in some of the creeks. Some of the guys are limiting out. And I don't know if you like to catch fish with a rod and reel or not. I know there's a lot of fishing up here with it, or dip netting and drag netting, set netting. But I still like the rod and reel. There's something about getting that hook set and feeling that fish fight and enjoying that opportunity to land it and then taking it home and fixing it and eating it. And you know where it came from. Oh, man, I like that. But good news, that's just one thing. I mean, that's a small thing, really. But it's a tremendous blessing to me. There are so many things. You know, when you can watch someone, my daughter-in-law, just catching trout after trout after trout. What a blessing it was. Just watching her giggle and laugh and have fun. It's not something she had experienced much before. And to watch that happen, and oh, that just brings so much joy. And sometimes there's good news that, you know, someone you care deeply about has a terrible illness. And they have to go through surgery. And they make it through the surgery, and the healing is happening in their body. And then you see them out and about doing something they enjoy. Man, now that is good news. When you can say, yeah, they are long-term survivors of cancer, you know? And one of the greatest joys and news that we get is when mama and baby are healthy and a newborn has come, we get to celebrate that. What great news that is. We're 59 days and counting. That's when started, yeah. This is not too far off. And you know, that's good news. Baby's here, mama's healthy, baby's healthy. And of course there's Publishers Clearinghouse. But no, I always thought about what it'd be like to build my dream house anywhere I wanted and then get $10,000 a week for life. Not a bad deal. But those are good news. What's your good news? What's really great news to you? What gets you excited? What makes your heart leap? You know? I hope something does. Of course, this morning I'm having a little, what's that? You bet. Is there any better news? I don't know. Being lost and being found. You know, we can talk about that in spiritual terms, but it really makes a difference if you've ever experienced that in real life. Not knowing where you are, being afraid, dark, scary, and suddenly you find where you're at, or somebody finds you. That's how it is with God. The Apostle Paul reminds us of the good news and calls us to live our lives, our conduct, worthy of that good news. He uses the term gospel. The word gospel we often use, but we have given it a different connotation maybe than it should have. Gospel is just nothing more than good news. That's what it means. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, is great news. I mean, it's beyond explanation and expression with words. So we try by singing songs, "How Great Thou Art." Good job, by the way. But, you know, from Elvis Presley to Carrie Underwood, they have recorded that song. And it has been a huge hit each time. Not just, okay, so they did a religious song. It's a huge hit. One of the all-time favorites of, I won't use his term because he's not the king. We know who the king is, but he was singing about the king. You know, Elvis Presley. Carrie Underwood got a standing ovation. Packed house. And you know not all of them had to could have been Christians, but they heard the gospel when she sang "How Great Thou Art" and moved them to a standing ovation. Jesus is the good news that deserves that kind of accolade, that kind of praise, that kind of adoration. And Paul, he tells us why that should be. So we're going to look at Philippians chapter 1 and verses 19 through 30. So whether you have your Bible or whether you have a tablet or just your phone, wherever your Bible is, or you can read it up here on the screen. This is the New King James Version, but it is the Word of God. "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me." Before I move on to any other thoughts, that word perdition is not one that may be one that we use commonly, so you may not be aware of what it means. But what he's saying here is that when we are not afraid of the persecution that comes from our speaking the gospel, that lack of fear and that boldness is proof of the punishment for sin. That perdition is the punishment for sin. And those sinners who are persecuting the gospel of Jesus Christ, our boldness and lack of fear what they think they can do to us is proof. And so that's what that means. So let's go back to this beginning. Paul was in prison. First of all, be aware of that. Now here's a man who actually, you may not know this, but Paul was actually pretty wealthy before he started this journey of following Christ. He gave up quite a lot. He was a highly educated man. He was highly respected among the Jews and the Pharisees. In fact, he was the one assigned to persecute the church. You may know that. But if you didn't, you do now. He was the guy that was holding the coats when they stoned Stephen to death. He was arresting people, throwing them in prison, and having them, some of them, killed for their faith. That's what Paul did to begin with. And now he's in prison for the gospel. He's waiting to hear when he's going to get that face-to-face with Caesar. And then Caesar will determine whether, forgive me for being crass, whether he gets to keep his head or not. I mean, it's that literal. He'll be executed if his evidence does not support the accusations. So he's not just talking here from some, you know, philosophy or thought. He's speaking from real life situation. He's in prison awaiting a hearing that will determine his life or death. And it's all because of his preaching the gospel. All right? But this death, he says, is far better. Now, that's not what I commonly hear. I don't hear that a whole lot. Once in a while. But I don't hear it a whole lot. Gotta be honest with you. I love life. I enjoy my family. We had a birthday in our family. It's actually coming up, but I'll be out on a caribou hunt. And there's other things going for other people in the family as well. And it's a weekday. So we had the birthday celebration yesterday. And it was just wonderful to watch all the kids, you know, I call them kids. They're 30-something adults, except for the youngest adult. She was 28 yesterday, or will be 28 Wednesday. My point, though, is all that watching them play, watching them banter, watching them share, and just so many fun things. Jan had gotten to go with our good friend Denise on a trip to Brooks Falls to see the Bears, and so we had this great video photo and videos of the Bears at Brooks Falls. It was incredible. But what a time. What a time to celebrate life. Unfortunately, I have some friends and I have a niece and I have others who are going through some really hard times. Well, is God absent for them and present for us? We sang the song earlier. No, he's always working even when we can't see it. So the good news is always good news no matter what your circumstances are. If I remain, now Paul was being persecuted. He was suffering, and he was in danger of execution. So for him to say death is far better, it is because of his confidence that he will be with Christ. And I want to present that for just a little bit more. Well, earlier when I said the gospel is often misrepresented, well, it depends on what your good news is. Whether your granddaughter is potty trained and she, you know, went poo in the potty for the first time, okay? That's good news, right? We celebrate it, right? But it's kind of a everyday thing for a lot of folks. And so we can see that as good news. We can maybe get a car that is new to us. And we're happy about it because we got a good deal. That's good news. So often we talk about good news in terms that is relative and circumstantial. I'd like us to think of good news as something that goes beyond circumstances and is eternal, lasts forever. So, with that said, how do you see? You see, we can't experience eternal life without death. But death gives birth to life. Just as when a child comes into this world, it's difficult. It's hard on the child. It's hard on mama. And sometimes it's hard on daddy's hands. But the reality is that it's a hard struggle at first. But when that life comes in, there's all this new, and this infant is being flooded with all kinds of light and sound and experiences that are overwhelming. We see that birth come through that pain. Well, there's another birth that happens for the believer, for the saint, for the one following Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There is another birth, and that birth is the birth into eternal life. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Paul said, "For me to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ." We're going to have some kind of new body. Now, at some point, I don't know if it happens immediately or sometime later, but at some point, Philippians also tells us in 3:20 that we will be given a new body like Christ's glorified body. Hooray! Is that good news? For some of us, more than others. So what does it mean to you for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain? Well, he says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance, salvation." So facing execution, this will turn out for my deliverance or salvation. What is this? Well, when you look back, you see that the prayers of the saints, they were praying for him, and the supply of the Spirit, right? "For I know that this," prayers and preaching the good news provide, and there's four possibilities here, but I think it's all of them. I don't think it's one or the other. And so one of the things is his release from prison to go on preaching and teaching. And that would mean his escape from execution. But it could be his escape from execution, but remaining in prison. Ultimately, it could be a salvation to be with Christ through death, or just a general well-being. He'll know that he'll be fine, whichever way it goes. All of those could be understood in that term, deliverance. But Paul believed he would be able to continue with them for their progress and joy of faith to live as Christ. To live as Christ. And so if I'm living for Jesus, whose life am I impacting? I want that to sink in. If I'm living for Jesus, whose life am I impacting? That's it. You hope so. I mean, that's the point. Are you impacting someone's life? And more than just you hope they see it and you hope, but there's an opportunity. There's always opportunities. I believe Jesus gave us the example. He had 12 disciples that stayed with him for 3 years. And they ate with him and they followed him and they listened to him and they taught. And they went out and they preached and they even cast out demons and healed the sick. All with him. But he had three within that circle that he really invested in, and one more than others. So there was this investing in others. Intentionally. And I just want to ask the question, is there someone that you're investing in? Is the gospel important enough to you that you're investing in someone else's eternal well-being, their deliverance? I don't want to use a lot of churchy terms here. I just want to ask the question. Who are you intentionally living out your faith with that helps guide them, helps walk with them? Maybe they're contributing to you as much as you do to them. Iron sharpens iron. It's a good thing. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. Good news. Great news. Now, Paul does tell us what the good news is over in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 5. And in the English Standard Version, he calls it matters of first importance. But here in the New King James, he just simply says, what I first preached to you. What is that good news? First, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. He paid the price on a cross that we could not afford to pay, and a debt that he didn't owe. You've heard me say that many times. You'll hear it many, many, many more. Because it's really important to get that idea. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That means paid in full. You've been given that pass. And when that day comes, you can say it's been paid in full by the blood of Christ. Is that good news? He was buried and rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, it wasn't just a myth that he died. They verified it. They verified it with a stone rolled over the cave, a seal put on that stone with Roman guards to watch it. And if that stone got rolled away, those guards were going to be put to death for failing their job. So he died. That is evident. And it is historically accurate. He was buried. He was on the third day he rose. And not only did he rise, but he was seen by Peter. He was seen by Mary. He was seen by over 500 others over the next few weeks. Over 500 saw him, heard him, touched him. And finally, Paul met him on the road to Damascus. So what is your good news? What is your good news? I was fishing out at Memory Lake this week, and as I came in, there was a young man standing on at the launch, and he had a cast on his arm, and he was real friendly, and I asked him what happened, and, well, I got in a fight. I said, yeah, there's never any winners. You know, I said, if you have to fight, you've already lost. That coming from a jarhead. But it's true. That's true. And we got to talking, and he told me that he was taking care of his brother, and I talked to him a little bit longer. He had just graduated from high school last year, so he's the first year out of high school. He's taking care of his brother and his younger brother. His dad left for Seattle to start a new family without him. His older brother was supposed to take care of him, but he died. His mother had died, and there was no one left. It sounded, I know that at least his brother, but maybe also his mother. She either died from alcoholism or suicide. The brother did die from suicide. So here he is, maybe 18, 19, taking care of his younger brother. Family of alcoholics, drug addicts, no purpose in life, no value. I told him a little of my story, and then I said, do you believe in God? He shook his head. Can I pray for you? How many times do you have an opportunity to hear somebody's heart, to hear what's going on in their world, to share your hope, your faith, your good news that can be theirs. I don't know what's going to happen to Devin. I don't know if I'll get to see him again. I pray that I get to see him in heaven. But I know that he heard the gospel. I know that he left there knowing that somebody cared about him. That's walking here on earth, but there's somebody watching over him from heaven. Paul calls us to stand in one spirit with one mind, striving, working together for the faith of the gospel, unafraid to live and proclaim the good news. Do you believe the best is yet to come? I do. I love my family. I love life. I enjoy the things that God has blessed me with abundantly. Man, I'm so blessed, and I am humbled because I don't deserve any of it. People often ask me how I'm doing. I say, better than I deserve. And that's a fact. But the good news is that all that junk that you've got piled waiting to go to the dump, you get to trade in for a mansion with the greatest view that you've ever seen. All that junk that's going on in your life that you can't do a thing about, Jesus nailed it, had it nailed on a cross through him, so that when you accept what he did for you, it's all taken care of. What greater deal is there than to trade your worst for his best and to get to experience that for all eternity? There isn't any better news. Jesus paid it all. Will your conduct be worthy of the good news of Jesus Christ? If it hasn't been, it can start today. If it has been, let's work together. Let's do just what Paul said. One mind, one spirit, one purpose, working together. Looking for those Devins out there that you might be able to have an influence on. Had a good friend who was very instrumental in my faith in Jesus Christ. He was only about 5 foot two. He was a Marine, fought in World War II, combat veteran, served a long career in the reserves in the Marines. Antonio Romano. I always get a little choked up when I talk about Antonio. He couldn't pray without weeping. When he would pray in front of the church, he would just weep because of his gratitude. He was an electrician for the railroad, and one day he had put a sign on the engine that he was working on, "Don't start, don't move." And he was underneath that engine working. And somebody came, ripped the sign off, started it up, and took off. And he got wrapped around the axle. He spent 40-plus days in the hospital, really in bad shape, bordering life and death. Before he left, four nurses got saved. And there wasn't anybody on the floor that didn't know that Antonio Romano loved Jesus more than life. Yeah. So our circumstances can be opportunities, whether they be good or bad, to tell the truth about Jesus Christ and what he means to us. Or we can let them beat us down. And others look at us and see nothing different than anybody else walking the street. That's conduct worthy of the gospel. One last story about Antonio. This idea of working together, investing in others, helping other people along the path of one mind, one spirit, one family of faith, striving together for this good news and the proclamation of it. So I'm going through a hard time. I was in the Marine Corps. It was a divorce, custody battle, nasty case. And whether you know it or not, I was awarded full custody of that, of my son that lives in Chicago. And so Antonio knew I was going through a hard time, and he called me long distance to pray with me. Antonio at that time was so sick, he could not go to the bathroom by himself. He couldn't get out of bed by himself. And a week later, he died. He never gave up ministering. He never gave up sharing the good news. He never gave up caring about others. In physical stature, he didn't seem like much. That was a mistake. But in spiritual stature, he was one of the giants in my path that fed into me throughout my life, even when I wasn't a Christian, even when I wasn't where I needed to be. He never gave up on me. Prayed for me. Invested in me. And I believe that he's one of the big reasons I'm here before you today. Conduct worthy of the gospel of Christ. Heavenly Father, for these gathered here, I pray that your Spirit would supply each of them such an awareness of your goodness, of your love, of your grace, of your mercy, that they would be overwhelmed to the point of tears. They would be filled with gratitude that cannot be expressed in words, and that their lives could be lived in such a way that others could see and hear Christ through the life they live, giving them opportunity to share with words the truth of Jesus Christ, his reality in their life. May they know that the word of God is true, and that as they share your word, they also share their testimony, so that through the power of the blood of Christ and the word of our testimony, the enemy of our souls, Satan himself, will be overcome every single time. For your glory and honor, Father, we pray that your kingdom purpose be fulfilled in and through us here at Wasilla Community Church, in this community, and maybe around the world. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus. Now, Father, send these, your people. Send them out with grace and peace to live lives worthy of your good news. Amen. Go in peace.